From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
A BBC reporter now claims that a chemical attack on the city of Douma in Syria in the spring of last year, which was blamed by the U.S. media and intel on the Syrian government, was in fact staged. RT's Murad Gazdiev has more.
You don't hear it very often. Not even a doubt, not a suspicion, but a certainty that the hospital scenes of the alleged chemical attack in Douma was staged. And this is coming from a BBC Syria producer.
After almost 6 months of investigations, I can prove without a doubt that the Douma hospital scene was staged. No fatalities occurred in the hospital.
The incident in question occurred almost a year ago when the Syrian military took on the Army of Islam in the town of Douma. The White Helmets, working with Islamists, released videos of an alleged chemical attack. Hospitals, people in panic. Reaction was immediate and violent. Trump launched more than 100 cruise missiles at Syria. France and Britain chipped in. The UN Security Council in uproar. Few took any time to think. For years, Douma had been held by the Army of Islam. Hardcore Islamists, the same guys that caged women and elders on roofs to protect themselves against airstrikes.
I can tell you that Jaish al-Islam ruled Douma with an iron fist. They co-opted activists, doctors, and humanitarians with fear and intimidation.
You may also remember, in the lead-up to this incident, Russia warned this could happen, that rebels might stage a chemical attack to invite foreign intervention, derail an evacuation deal.
We have undeniable evidence that this was yet another staged attack that involved intelligence agencies of one of the countries that is rushing to spearhead a Russophobic campaign.
But no one in the West listened or pretended not to hear, not the media, not the politicians. Here, by the way, is how BBC reported on the incident back then.
Disturbing reports of a chemical weapons attack.
Chemical attack carried out by the Assad regime.
The medics are doing what they can, but they're overwhelmed.
Dozens of people have been killed due to poison gas.
A chemical attack did happen, believes Riam. But everything else, the casualties, the panic, the videos, those were meant to achieve something. What evidence Riam has, we don't know. Aside from a few tweets, details are scarce. We're waiting for more. We've requested comment from Riam, the BBC, and we'll keep you posted. But it seems, not for the first time, full-blown hysteria over supposed chemical attack casualties may not quite be how it's claimed.
That was RT's Murad Gazdiev. Russia's foreign ministry spokesperson Maria Zakharova had this to say.
As a result of an unprecedented falsification on the territory of the sovereign state of Syria, a massive strike was conducted by the Western coalition. We first uncovered that the video was in fact a falsification. And now we see that even those who were cheering the Western coalition strikes cannot tolerate these lies anymore and are speaking out.
Meanwhile, the effort to resolve the situation inside the country took another step forward yesterday in Sochi, Russia, where Russia's President Vladimir Putin, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani, and Turkey's President Recep Erdogan held a press conference following talks on Syria. It was the fourth time that the three leaders have met. They discussed the long-term settlement of the Syrian crisis, along with other international issues, and bilateral and trilateral cooperation. This was Russia's President Vladimir Putin opening the press conference in Sochi, Russia, Thursday.
Colleagues, friends, Mr. Rouhani, Mr. Erdogan, ladies and gentlemen, moments ago, together with President of Iran, Mr. Rouhani, and President of Turkey, Mr. Erdogan, have concluded a very interesting talks on Syria. The talks have been constructive and very businesslike. I'd like to note that our meeting in this trilateral format are now very regular. This is the fourth meeting so far. Such coordination allows us to effectively work towards long-term normalization in the Syrian Arab Republic. Together with our partners, we have defined the key areas for further cooperation for the sake of settling the Syrian crisis. The agreements we've reached can be found in our joint statement. It is very important that all three guarantor states are willing and ready to improve cooperation within the Astana process, which has proven to be effective. We will continue to expand our efforts in our fight against terrorism. We will continue our negotiated political process in Syria. We will continue our practice of regular meetings on the expert level with the participation of delegations from guarantor states, from Syria, from Syrian parties, from the government and the opposition in Syria, and the UN officials, of course. We have agreed that the 12th round of consultations will take place in Astana in late March, early April. The Astana 3 continues contacts, extensive contacts with all the interested parties and international organizations. Some countries have said that they would like to also participate in the Astana process as observers, and we have been working to allow them to receive this status. I'd like to underline that thanks to Russia, Iran, and Turkey, a positive environment has been created to resolve the crisis. We are convinced that we can only achieve positive results in Syria through negotiated political process, according to 2254 resolution of the UN Security Council, and only if we respect the principles of sovereignty, unity, and territorial integrity of Syria. We believe that it is the Syrians themselves that have to define the future of their country. There is no other way to move forward. So we looked at the issues of promoting and furthering the domestic Syrian political process. We have agreed to launch the Constitutional Committee as soon as possible, which will tackle the basic aspects of the future government of the Syrian Arab Republic. The candidates are mostly agreed upon by the Syrian government and the opposition. Now we need to agree on the final list on the participants of the committee and to decide on the basic functions of the committee. We believe that this success will allow Damascus to normalize relations with Arab states, to restore its connections with the Arab League, and improve stability and security in the region on the whole. During our talks, the three guarantor states agreed that we will all fight against terrorism and enhance stability in the region. We have discussed the Idlib de-escalation zone as well. I would like to say that our Iranian Turkish allies would like to work with us to remove all escalation in Idlib and to improve the situation there. We have agreed on a number of steps to promote the situation, to improve the situation. Ceasefire should not impede our anti-terrorist efforts, though, and I'd like to say that the creation of the Idlib de-escalation zone is a temporary measure. Aggressive operations of the militants should not be left unpunished. During our talks, we've also discussed the ways how the American plans to withdraw their troops from Syria will influence the situation. We believe that the implementation of these steps would be a positive development. It would help stabilize the situation in a part of Syria, where control by the legitimate government needs to be restored. We have discussed at length the humanitarian efforts towards the Syrian people. We have discussed the help towards the refugees. The Astana 3 are doing a lot in this area. Without support, the Syrian Arab Republic has created conditions for over 1.5 million people to be helped, the refugees to be helped, and there will be non-discriminatory approach towards anyone who wants to return to their homeland. In order to radically improve the situation in Syria, to restore the economy, restore the society, this would require collective efforts from all of the international community. We call on the international community and international organizations, and firstly the UN, of course, to help Syrians to return to normal life, to peaceful life, to overcome the conflict. In conclusion, I'd like to thank my Iranian and Turkish counterparts, Mr. Rouhani, Mr. Erdogan, for this productive and very constructive talks we've had today. I'm sure that the results of the summit will help promote more productive work towards the peace and stability in the Syrian Arab Republic. Thank you.
That was Russia's President Vladimir Putin at a trilateral press conference in Sochi, Russia on Thursday with the presidents of the Islamic Republic of Iran and Turkey. This was the President of Iran, Hassan Rouhani.
In the name of the Lord, the Almighty and the Merciful, I would like to thank His Excellency, the Russian President, Mr. Putin, for hosting this important meeting in the beautiful city of Sochi. And also, I would like to thank him for his hospitality on behalf of the people of Syria and the Syrian government. This is our fourth summit within the Astana format. Our common objective is to combat terrorism resolutely and restore stability and security in Syria, to help Syrians develop a new constitution, strengthen democracy in Syria, and enable refugees to go back to their homes, as well as post-war reconstruction in Syria. During today's meeting, which was highly helpful and candid and open-minded, we discussed the necessity to continue our fight against terrorism in the remaining hotbeds in Syria, including the region of Idlib. We all agreed that decreasing tension and the presence of war torn states on a temporary basis in Syria are necessary. Idlib is part of Syria, and it must be cleansed of terrorists. Terrorists must leave this country. They are intruders there. There are many things that are alarming. Many of those terrorists are currently in prisons, and if they go back to their home countries, they may engage in terrorist activities in their countries and regions. We've already been witnessing that, and we are concerned that some of the members of ISIS may get transferred from Syria to Afghanistan, and that might be very dangerous for the entire Middle East and Central Asia, as well as the rest of the world. We must not enable terrorists to get support under a veneer of a fight against terrorism. And the United States has announced that they were going to withdraw their troops from Syria. But according to our information, they intend to continue to interfere in the domestic affairs of Syria, regardless of how many American boots remain on the ground in Syria. It must be up to Syrians to decide their own future, and that's important. The Americans... It is important that the Americans realize that Kurds are also a part of Syria, and Syria is one people, and it must enjoy territorial integrity. This principle of territorial integrity for Syria was emphasized during today's meeting. Even though we do realize that security of Syria's neighboring countries must also be ensured, including the security of Turkey. Turkey must feel safe on its border with Syria. We would like all neighboring countries around Syria to have friendly, good neighbor relations with this country. And in order to ensure long-term security for Syria, that is why we must both respect Syria's territorial integrity and pay attention to the rights of Syria's Kurds, and also focus on neutralizing and destroying terrorist groups. So all these aspects received attention, a great deal of attention from us during today's meeting. Also, the illegal, unlawful, and illegitimate interference by the Zionist regime in Syria also is a matter of concern for Syria, for Syrians, and for other countries of the region. Israelis violate Syria's airspace through Lebanon. They bomb Syrian territory at will. Unfortunately, the United Nations and responsible parties in the world keep silent with regard to such incidents, to such occurrences. And this silence means that they do not want safety and security in total for Syria and for the entire region. We are happy that the three warrantor nations are investing their efforts to decrease tension in Syria and ensure long-term stability in this country. From the very start, we believed that should be a political objective to resolve the situation in Syria, that it doesn't have a military solution. And we've been hoping that after many years of suffering, Syrians will finally be able to enjoy peace and security. Therefore, the international community must contribute its efforts to enable Syrian refugees to go back to their homes as soon as possible and to ensure the reconstruction of Syria. And I believe that the cooperation of our three important nations in this region over Syria will be very important for restoring security in Syria. Maybe nobody would believe that peace would be restored in Syria a while ago and that Damascus would be able to continue running its own country. Therefore, the cooperation among our three countries on a global level, our cooperation for peace is highly important. We also believe that the United Nations and all the countries in the world should assist this process, should support this process. And this format might also prove very efficient for resolving regional issues. And the way our three countries are putting in their effort to ensure security and peace for Syria, we could similarly do that for the entire region and use this cooperation for any areas that require our attention. Thank you.
That was President Hassan Rouhani of the Islamic Republic of Iran at a press conference in Sochi, Russia on Thursday about Syria. His comments were followed by those of President Recep Erdogan of the Republic of Turkey.
My friend, Mr. Putin, Mr. Rouhani, members of the delegations, members of the media and the press, I welcome every one of you here. Before I begin, I would like to express my gratitude for the hospitality of Mr. Putin. Using this opportunity, I'd like to express my condolences to the people of Iran regarding what happened yesterday, the terrorist act that happened yesterday. I wish only the best to the people who were wounded in the act. Over many years, we have been fighting against the PKK terrorist organizations. Tens of thousands of our people have died in the attacks of this organization. No matter what form this terrorist organization takes, in the end, they will be destroyed, eliminated. Whether it happens in Iran or in Turkey, all terrorists will be eliminated. Today we have held very productive, successful talks with my counterparts. We have discussed the results of previous meetings, and we have discussed measures for promoting peace in Syria. Together we have consulted on potential further steps to resolve the conflict in the region. On the other hand, we discussed the ceasefire, we have discussed Idlib, and a number of other issues were also on our agenda. I would like to underline that we believe it's very important to resolve the situation in Idlib. Our Syrian brothers have paid a very high price, have suffered a lot over the past years. We wish that neither Syria nor any other region suffers such a humanitarian crisis ever again. Turkey has done a lot to overcome all of the differences and, despite all of the provocations, to maintain peace and security in Idlib. We are doing everything to implement the Idlib Memorandum. I have given my friend, my Iranian counterpart and Russian counterpart, our wishes to how to implement the Idlib Memorandum. We have discussed also the provocation initiatives that we need to overcome. Also, we have assessed the decision by the U.S. to withdraw its troops from Syria. Undoubtedly, if this happens, Trump's decision will have a great effect. Their removal of their forces should not lead to a vacuum of power and should not lead to a domination by the PYD and the People's Protection Units and the YPG. We believe that we need to take into account the territorial integrity of Syria, and we need to eliminate terrorist organizations and other threats as part of our process of conflict resolution. The zones that will be created as a result need to be transferred under the authority to the authority of the Syrian government. There's a terrorist corridor on the southern borders of Syria, and we expect our partners and our allies to establish a safe zone there as well. We have discussed the Al-Tanf peace agreement. We have also discussed everything that could be done to achieve a political resolution. We have assessed the stage we are at. We believe that at this moment there needs to be a constitutional committee, and in cooperation with the UN, these committees should become operational. Three guarantor states have done a lot to achieve a political negotiated political process. If we have traversed a sea, we cannot allow ourselves to drown in a river, so to speak. So we have achieved quite a lot, and those who thrive on chaos and instability should not succeed. Friends, in the upcoming future, we should focus on creating a constitutional committee. We have also discussed the problem of refugees returning to their homes. Over 3 million refugees, Syrian refugees, have found refuge in our country. Turkey has the most refugees of any country in the world. In these difficult times, we have helped our brothers. No matter what their ethnic or religious background, we have given refuge to all of the refugees that flew away and escaped from the regime or from the terrorists. We have also discussed the problem of the issue of helping the refugees return to their homes in a peaceful manner and deliberately. During the Euphrates Shield operation, over 300,000 refugees have returned to their homes. Now they live in more secure regions. It is all thanks to the measures taken by our country. I believe that this model can be applied in Manbij and in the eastern Euphrates region as well. To help the refugees, we need to prepare humanitarian infrastructure. Turkey is ready to contribute a lot to that. But the international community, as a part of a just joint effort, needs to contribute as well, but we haven't seen that so far. While we see some effort in terms of helping refugees, we don't hear a lot about the efforts towards rebuilding Syria. We believe that our efforts today will help restore stability in Syria. The three guarantor states have been decisive in their stance that the Syrian crisis needs to be resolved according to UN Resolution 2254. Together with Mr. Putin and Mr. Rouhani, we believe that we have achieved a lot thanks to this summit. The next meeting of our summit will take place in the upcoming months. And we have agreed on the time that this new meeting will take place. Thank you.
And that was Turkey's President Recep Erdogan at a meeting with the presidents of Russia and Iran about Syria. It took place in Sochi, Russia, Thursday. While the presidents of Russia, Iran, and Turkey were talking peace in Sochi, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence was with Poland's President Andrzej Duda talking war. This was Poland's President Duda at a press conference on Thursday in Warsaw talking about the purchase of a new weapons system from the U.S. for more than $400 million.
I'm delighted that the U.S. Vice President's visit started on such an important and symbolic note, with the signing of an agreement on future deliveries to Poland of high-mobility artillery rocket systems. These will be key to upgrading Poland's defenses.
He said the weapons system was necessary to protect his country from the threat posed by Russia. Poland is a member of NATO, and equipment purchases from the U.S. are part of the package of NATO membership. Poland's capital city, Warsaw, was the namesake to the Warsaw Pact, which was created in 1955, 6 years after the founding of NATO, as a defense against NATO for the Eastern Bloc countries. The Warsaw Pact dissolved at the time of the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Poland has been a member of NATO since 1999.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.